You know, there's a special mojo that's felt during those moments when human beings genuinely share who they are. When you see a songwriter who deeply believes and has lived the words that they're singing, it's the kind of magic that hushes a noisy room or sends shivers down your spine. I'm here to explore just that. What is it exactly that makes that kind of magic moment happen? Greetings, folks. My name is Michael Averill, and this is the Write Songs You Love podcast.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back. We're back here at Write Songs You Love. And I wanted to bring in some, how do I say this? Stories from out and about in the wild. There's a storytelling group that I'm a part of, and they've got a fun saying about when people are sharing their stuff outside of that group, that it's seen in the wild. And there's ways to talk about that. And so that inspired me today, because over the last week, I've had a couple of conversations that really stuck out with different songwriters, just about certain places that they are with their songs. And there's two situations that aren't necessarily questions, but more situations that I thought might be helpful for everyone to hear and to think about. And if this is you in any way, or if this is helpful to hear, then I hope this helps. So, scenario one, I was chatting with a songwriter who's in one of the workshops right now that I'm running, and they were talking about this feeling of wanting to write songs that, you know, they don't actually have to go deep digging and unravel a whole bunch of personal difficulty and trauma and despair and heartbreak, or, you know, that level of depth to just write a song and be happy with it, you know? And I think that's awesome. I think it was great to address that. And sometimes I think in conversations I've had, and even just about like write songs you love, oftentimes the assumption is to get a song that you love, or just something that feels meaningful or connecting, that you have to do all that kind of stuff, like he was saying, like that you have to really deep dive and get uncomfortable and whatnot. And while there totally is, you know, material there that can work, it's not necessary and actually isn't always helpful. That's kind of the thing I think with it, is you don't need to force yourself into a situation that is incredibly difficult to come out with something meaningful or special. In fact, I think we tend to access certain themes or ideas, or even just styles of songs and content, in a better kind of healing way if we just follow instincts of what's there. And sometimes it might just be writing the silliest, most ridiculous, goofy-ass song that you can write that can surprise you sometimes in its simplicity and just how fun it can be, and maybe be a stepping stone to something that gets you a little bit closer to, if it's part of a healing journey you're on with songwriting or just in life, cool. But, you know, like, it's not necessary. It's just something I just wanted to speak to today, and just kind of, I don't say like it's going to take the pressure off, but maybe just give yourself a little bit of grace to allow yourself some space to just not have to always be on the deep dive dig for your songs, because it actually can be quite exhausting too. I've had it happen in songs before where it really kind of shut me down for a number of weeks at one point, writing on a particular topic, which was eventually good to do, but it was just, it's a lot of energy output and it can affect things in a great deal. And in my storytelling group that I'm a part of, I actually had it even way worse. Just digging into the deep contents of a particular story was, holy cow, did it have, I had like the biggest emotion hangover that I've ever had, just even thinking about the story again and the writing, it just really took a toll. So while I think that kind of work can be beneficial and helpful, it's just good to be aware that it does have that effect, and doing it all the time probably isn't helpful. It probably, like, it's just a lot. So I think it's good to moderate how much you're doing the deep dive digging. And even if it helps, like, schedule in a purposeful, intention-based play, lighthearted, fun, silly. I think back to the last teacup challenge that we did in the summertime, the ice teacup challenge, where the first prompt of that whole thing was absolute nonsense. And I put that on the very first one very strategically to just have that light access, break the ice, start with fun. You know, it's such a good way to just find another path. It's less intimidating. It actually is enticing and welcoming. So do that. Do that if you can. And I can't tell you how many songs that I just adore that I've ended up writing. I have ended up writing because of just allowing that space and joy. Like, for the first time, I actually overcame a hurdle that I'm celebrating right now. So I've never been able to write like a holiday Christmas style song by myself. I've been able to help out other people who have been doing it, but I always really struggle with doing it for some reason. But I found a fun access point for me this time around that I'll share in the near future here as we get closer to Christmas, because I'm going to record it. But, you know, it was finding a ridiculous story and kind of like working off of this hypothesis that I have of a different past for Santa Claus that I haven't heard anybody speak to. And I thought it might be kind of fun to explore and just theorize on Santa's potential true origins. And it just got me doing it, and I did it. You know, like, that was a hurdle I've been trying to get over for years. So when in doubt, you know, like, look for the fun, and don't discredit that those songs can be songs that you love. You know, I, like I said, I think a large majority of the songs that I personally love are written from that space. And because of sharing them and being out and about with them, they have led me into some deeper discoveries that have opened up some different cans of worms. So yeah, there's just so much to be said for that. So all that to say, don't ever feel like you have to emotionally like destroy yourself every single time you want to write up a meaningful or important song. You know, like, it's not necessary. Just write what's there. Experiment with the lighter side. Even if you say you just can't do that, just like, be goofy. Find a silly way just to try it. Like, do something completely ridiculous. And maybe that's a songwriting challenge for all of you who might feel that you can't write a silly, goofy song. It's like, what is the most ridiculous thing that you could possibly write? And just go to town on it. Like, no holds barred kind of situation. So that's situation number one. Situation number two, I was out at a music night, just a local artist showcase kind of night. And there's a guy that I've seen around in the open mics. I know he's listening. He's been listening to this podcast fairly regularly now, and just really appreciate his comments on the past episodes and just what other guests have said. But we were chatting about how he has an older song, or a set of older songs, that he's in the middle of recording now, and he's had them for a long time, and is kind of feeling this funny place of, gosh, like, I'm feeling so over these songs, you know, like, whether or not you're, and that can mean a lot of things. It can mean either kind of burned out of playing them, bored of playing them, you know, just for whatever reason, if it's just the content of the song, maybe don't identify with anymore. Or sometimes we kind of come up against roadblocks with what we feel we have in our skill set. Like, if I was a better guitar player, maybe this would be more interesting. Or if maybe I could do this and that, like, maybe this would be whatever. Like, it's boring to play. I think the audience is getting bored. There's all these things that can come up when we've had a song and we played it a lot over a period of time. So I can say I've been in that scenario too, just thinking like, oh my gosh, like, oftentimes when you get to recording a song, if you're wanting to share it, put it out on a record, any of these kinds of things, you have played it so much and you might feel that's in the past, and like maybe you want to move on and write new stuff because you think differently now, and then you're a different person now. And there's nothing more exciting than having a new song to share. And it often happens when I find other people are in the recording process, me too, when you're really trying to perfect and hone in, just get your old songs as ready as they're going to be and get them out and about to the world, that all this new stuff comes up and you just want to spend time there because it's so fresh and exciting and you really want to talk about it with people and all of that jazz. Anyway, all of those things are very real things, and a lot of songwriters feel that, myself included. So something I wanted to throw out there is, if you have a collection of songs or a single song that you're kind of tired of, or you feel like, I'm not sure about this song anymore, there's a couple of things that can help either spice that up or just give it a bit of a different flavor that becomes, maybe makes it more exciting for you to share or to look at it a different way. So the first way is just to look at the story that you are telling with this song. And by that, I mean the story you're telling yourself and the story that you tell other people. So the story that you tell yourself, it's like, what is it about this song? Do you always, you know, think about the same thing? What does this song still kind of mean? What it did years ago or however long ago it was for you? And by example of that, say, for example, if I wrote a song that is saying a particular message and is maybe based in a belief that maybe over the years changed for me, you know, and I may have hesitation singing that song now because I don't believe that anymore. I don't want to speak to that anymore. That's a totally legit and realistic thing. So where there might be value in changing the story here is maybe when you're introducing this song, is actually speaking to that and kind of narrating in your show or whoever you're sharing with you, like, hey, this is what I used to think, or when I was this age or at this time in my life, this is the kind of thing that was leading my way. Boom, you play that song and it sets that stage. It's kind of like setting the scene. And then if you have a follow-up song or just the story that follows, you can go into other stuff and you can say, yeah, but things changed and this happened. And you can either tell a story and maybe you wrote a song that goes with that, that kind of shows, wow, I'm not like that anymore. This is what caused that change. Or maybe it had to be like a challenge that you faced, something that really pushed you out of that thinking in a positive or negative way, whichever way it went, it shifted. There's room for another song there or another story to segue to maybe what you are, or who you are now, and what you want to say about that. So even though that old song might be written and kind of somewhat frozen in time in this other way of thinking, it can serve as a really cool counterpoint and, you know, like a juxtaposition in a way, a point A that really is in opposition to point B. And that's transformation in a nutshell. Like, that's, we love hearing about that. That's like the essence of a story, is some kind of change, some kind of shift in somebody's worldview. And that's awesome. That's very attractive. We've grown up on that. We've been listening to that model for eons and we love it. So that's something that can change your relationship to the role of a song in like a past perspective, if that is part of the issue. And it's just fun to try to challenge yourself too, to come up with new stories to work with your song. And if you need practice with that, this next week, starting on Monday, we've got a teacup challenge starting. It's free to join. Normally it's, you know, you wake up every day, there's a prompt, you write a song in the time it takes you to make and drink a cup of tea. This is going to be a bit different. This is actually going to be, this edition, taking a song you have already written and finding a different way, or playing with how you introduce the song, how you work with the story, how you translate to others before you would sing the song. So this is the perfect thing to practice and to experiment with in this situation that I'm talking about, or as a way to maybe kind of spice up your relationship with your songs. So that's a one song in isolation. The other cool thing that I got into conversation with this guy was about a collection of songs. And this can help. So say if you look at, you know, if you've just written the song on a guitar and you're singing it and you're actually going into recording it and thinking, oh, this is going to get bigger, maybe, or I'm going to add other instruments and have other things affecting the sound and the feeling of it all. And the question I asked him is, among the collection of the songs, or even like the particular song we were talking about, is there an ultimate feeling or thought that you can see as a common thread or theme in the collection of songs? So whether it's an album, it's like, is there a unifying idea that all of these can orbit around? Like, it's the sun, it's the star in the middle of the system that all of these other songs rotate around, and they're held by that gravity. You know, that's how I like to think about it. So that can really help if you're trying to decide, oh, how can I spice these songs up? If you can see the bigger picture of how all of your songs might link together, it might give you some information. So say, for example, if that's, you want to inspire people to, you know, follow their dreams or pursue their goals or whatever it's going to be, and it might be through overcoming adversity and challenges and all of these things, like that has a sound, you know, that speaks to us differently. So for you, it might be tubas and trombones and big giant boom, 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 bim drums. For me, it might be a mandolin and a cello and whatever. And this is what is amazing about art and music and interpretation and perspective, is there's all these different ways. Like that is the art. That's art is just like kind of translating what you see in the world and what you hear. And that's your vision. That's your choice. So if you have that idea that these songs as a grouping, it's good to put time into thinking about this, because then it informs you. It's like, what's your definition sonically of those things? And if you've never done that before, it's like, I don't know. What is that? I'm not sure. It's a good opportunity to just explore what elicits those feelings for you. And why this is so cool is, when you know that, that can start informing the choices of the instruments and the sounds and all the stuff that you put into your recording when you're making it. And anyone else who ever listens to it may never know that's why you've chosen these instruments or why those connections are there. That doesn't necessarily matter. It's more that in all layers, you're aligning everything from the lyrics to the message to the instruments that you choose in alignment with whatever that whole thing makes. It makes the whole thing stronger. It makes it way more powerful and impactful. I think it changes and increases amplifies the energy that you put into when you're recording and when you're performing, because it's dialed into that level, like that little detail, and ultimately just transmits this thing. So when all of those pieces are working and you've made those choices and spent that time, I don't see how it can't be interesting, you know, and like it kind of spices up that whole experience with the song, because it's just so loaded with details that are revolving in many different aspects of what the song is for you and what you would ideally like other people to feel from it. So couple different scenarios there, these two different situations. This last one here, you know, if you want to spice up your song or your relationship with it, you can change or play with the story that you tell. Or, you know, if you're looking into more of the nuanced flavors, if you're recording a song and putting more layers into it, think to the bigger picture and what that sounds like and how might that influence how the sound of your song, your record comes through, and what would make that exciting for you and really in alignment with the whole reason why you're doing it in the first place. So I hope those two situations help. I love that these conversations came up, because these are these real things that come up in songwriting and being an artist and sharing our stuff and just that whole creative pursuit. There's a lot of funny challenges like this that aren't often talked about so much. And it's just nice to hear that others go through them, because songwriting is often a very solitary thing. So part of this space in Write Songs You Love is to kind of break that down a bit, or at least just have a space where all of you can come and share some of these things and say, yeah, I've dealt with this too, and this is how I did it. Or like even just the fact of like, hey, you deal with this too. Okay, maybe I'm not a weirdo here. Like, this is normal. All right, I can work through this. This can be done. These are the things, they seem like small things, but I've seen them be these factors that make people quit songwriting and quit music, which I think is an absolute tragedy. So I'm here to keep blowing the flame and embers onto your songwriting fire. And I hope this is helping that. So thank you to the two songwriters that inspired these conversations this week. I was delighted to be able to spend time with them and reiterate them back to the community here. All right, so before we wrap up today, there, like I'd mentioned before, the Teacup Challenge Story Edition starts on Monday. And if you want to participate in that, I'll be posting the prompts in the Write Songs You Love Facebook community, like I always do. And you can show up there and respond to the prompts. And so how it's going to work is I'll have a prompt. It'll tell you something to explore or do. And this one's going to be a bit different because it will involve, like I said, a song you've already written and you've got to play with the story. And there's going to be different prompts of like what kind of story to present. Now, what you can do is in the thread of every day's post there, underneath, you can either type a little story. Sometimes they might just be one line. Sometimes they'll be a little bit longer. But you can type it in, and that's fine. You can record an audio of you saying the thing and plop it in. That's also cool. If you want to do a video, I know in the Teacup Challenge normally, people play their songs on video and post it in there. That's a blast. All of those options are great. So if you want to do that, perfect. I know there's a crew that loves doing this on Instagram and just posting what they do on Instagram. And they've been tagging, you know, Write Songs You Love and the Teacup Challenge and that. That's fantastic. By all means, go for it. I will be posting these prompts on the Write Songs You Love Instagram page as well. So if that's more of your jam, you can use it there and take part in it. But you don't have to post publicly if you don't want to. If you're just doing it and it's helpful, win. That is a win, and I'm happy. So just know that that's totally cool. You don't have to post. You don't have to do every day either. Like, just, it's there for whatever you want to engage with. But I know those who have jumped in and done as much as they can always get a ton out of it. And it's amazing to see. And one thing that's super special about the Facebook group is the support of the community that you all give each other and how much just that sharing inspires all of you to be a bit braver, or maybe to try something different, or maybe just to make a new friend. It's a really cool space to watch. Teacup Challenge is one of my favorite things for that in this community. So it's awesome. Jump on in. Like I said, there's many different ways. So watch for that on Monday. I generally post the prompts. I used to just post them in the morning, Pacific time, but I know that there's an audience here in Europe and in that side of the world where time is ahead, and in Australia. So I got into last round posting these challenges in late at the evening Pacific time so that they are there ready for you guys so you could have them in the morning. So that will be something I carry on through here too. So if you're a night owl in Pacific or Eastern North American time, that will be there for you if you want to go at it that way. But yeah, you can always look to the Facebook group, to the writesongsyoulove.com website. There will be a tab there for the Teacup Challenge, or Instagram. Lots of places to find it. And lastly, I just want to touch on, what are we on here? We're on November 30th, last day of November. I have a deadline for tomorrow. So December 1st, 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. So the end of the day tomorrow. For anyone who wants to sign up for the new Write Songs You Love membership, which is a couple of different things. It's it's an opportunity to, at this point in time, have a once a month live meeting on Zoom. It is probably going to evolve into a bit more as we have more people fill up this space. But at least it's that, where we had one already this month, which was awesome, where we got into some really great discussion about what's on your mind in terms of songwriting. If any of the podcast topics or guests that have come on have prompted some questions that you just want to talk out and have discussion among like-minded songwriters, that can happen. It can just be sharing challenges, sharing struggles, sharing wins, just kind of hanging out, meeting other people. The more people we get in there, I'm going to start doing some fun like breakout rooms and getting you meeting each other in real time, which is always a treat. So stuff like that, that's just that one call. In the future, near future here, I'm thinking of bringing in some former guests that like live to actually engage with the members there. So if you have questions for them or people that have been on or anyone that you would love to just like be in a session with, let me know and I'll see if I can make it happen. So some of those might actually look like cool workshops or activities that those former guests could maybe lead us in. It's going to be quite wide open and very creative. So that's a couple of things that can happen in that space. There's a very exciting thing where if you sign up before the deadline tomorrow night, I got these giant 20-ounce teacups that have the Write Songs You Love logo on them, and they are sweet. So I've had a whole group of people over the last week sign up to this, and because you're doing it in that time, a cup is just coming your way. And I have everybody who has ordered one of those or has signed up already, they are literally on your way. So I'm hoping they'll be in your hands probably within about a week to 10 days. They won't make it to your hands before this mini teacup challenge starts, but they should definitely be in your hands before the bigger annual teacup challenge starts on January 1st. So there you go. If you want one of those cups and just to be a part of all that extra layer of the community and activity, it's just going to be a space that's going to keep growing, because in 2024, I'm really going to dive deeper into this whole space of what Write Songs You Love is, but particularly with that membership option and just helping you through and just being supportive in many new and fun ways. So that is up until tomorrow. What am I talking about? That is up until tomorrow, 11:59 p.m. If you want one of those giant cups with your membership, which is just $8 a month US, or you can do a whole year for $80. So it's very cost manageable. And if that is something that you want to do or you have questions about, let me know. But yeah, I think that's all I got to say about that. And just one final thing, Saturday night at 7 p.m. Pacific, we've got alumni rock star Diane Barbarash, singer-songwriter, producer extraordinaire, is going to do the Write Songs You Love showcase. So if you want to watch that and be in the Zoom room, the event page and information is in the Facebook group. And if you're not in that group and you want to, just look for it online, or you can look at it in the show notes. It will take you there, and you have to answer a couple of questions. And you can come in if you just answer those questions. And if you want to if you don't want to be in the Zoom room, you could still watch. It will stream into the group. So that is totally cool. You just got to show up in the Facebook group and it'll just be playing at that time. You'll see it. Just scroll up and down or refresh your screen if you do not see it. So this is a thing that we're doing at least once a month, having some Write Songs You Love alumni come on and share their amazing songs and stories. And it's just another reason, great way to gather together and enjoy awesome songs. So there you go. Lastly, in the spirit of what the first situation I talked about today, talked about just writing something for fun, I'm going to show and share with you a ridiculous song that was just a hoot to work on. And it came up in a funny way, in a very, it was in a list, not a listening session, but like I had a scenario where I had an opportunity to try to write a song for a music licensing opportunity. And it was a genre I had never really heard of before and never tried to make anything for. It's called future funk. And if you've never heard of it, it's not the kind of genre that you might think it is. It has more of a textural sound and flavor of like Japanese anime, action, video game, movie kind of stuff. It was very much outside of my normal zone and tools that I use for making music. And there was a secondary challenge where those of you who know or been in some of my workshops, you have seen this studio compadre that I have. I have a little rubber chicken that I call Fernando's cousin. And there's a story behind that, maybe for another day. But this is what Fernando's cousin sounds like. This amazing cluck whine. And I had this chicken on the call and I made a joke like, maybe I'll try using the chicken for the song, making a future funk song. And everybody laughed and thought that was kind of ridiculous. But then I thought, you know what? I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to make this happen. So this was a blast. It just makes me laugh every time I hear it. I don't think I've actually shared this publicly at all. So this is going to be, you're among the very few that have heard this song. I hope it maybe helps you try something in that absolute nonsense, ridiculousness, any of that realm. If nothing else, this song will give you all the permission to do something like that, or just, like I said, have a little bit of lightness, have a little bit of fun with your creative process. All right, enjoy. It's called Future Funky Chicken, and we'll catch you next time.